want to welcome everybody back this afternoon. Appreciate your attendance as we gather once again on this Lord's Day to worship our God and to study more about God's Word. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, if you'll turn in your Bibles with me to Galatians chapter 1, we're going to stay in Galatians chapter 1 this afternoon. Read with me starting in verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. There are times when we read through the Bible, we've talked before about the difference between reading and studying, and how that reading, a lot of times you have to read something two or three times to yourself, and maybe even read it out loud to yourself to really grasp the meaning of certain passages and really be able to meditate on that which is being, that which is written for our understanding. But then there's a process that takes place between reading and understanding what's being written and then taking application from that text. So notice with me, as Paul begins from Galatians chapter 1, he's writing to the churches. Remember, it's not just one church of Galatia to whom he's writing. It's the churches of Galatia. He offers this introduction. Then starting in verse 6, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Paul goes on, starting in verse 11, to describe his apostleship. And as we go through, if we were making an outline of Galatians chapter 1, we'd have verse 1 and verse 4, maybe primarily kind of the highlights of what we would call the introduction of the letter, where Paul describes himself an apostle. He mentions Christ in verse 4, who gave himself for our sins. He's writing to the churches of Galatia, but now they've been drawn away by, which is not another doctrine, verse 7, but there are those who pervert the gospel of Christ. So the Galatians are being drawn away by false teaching. This is a perversion of the gospel. Even an angel, he says in verse 9, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preached another gospel than you've received, let him be accursed. Verse 8, he even refers to, or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel. Once the gospel has been given, which it has, it cannot be changed. So we acknowledge that. And as we read through verses 10 through 24, we find Paul give basically an accounting of his credentials, for lack of a better term, as an apostle. He goes through his history and how that he received the gospel directly from Jesus Christ, verses 10 through 12. He recounts his past and how that despite who he was and what he did, he has been separated by the plan of God to be an apostle and testify of Jesus Christ. And as he ends verse 23 and 24, but they were hearing only, this is after Paul has been converted, and he's referring to the churches of Judea, verse 23, but they were hearing only, he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God in me. So Paul's history, especially his turnaround from persecuting the church to now preaching the gospel, was a reason for glorifying God. That might be how you would outline Galatians chapter 1. Now, I'm going to preach to you three sermons tonight. Yes, I know we've got something going on at 6 o'clock. I promise we'll be out by 5:30, no later. You are going to get a 3-for-1 this evening. Three lessons in one, all coming from Galatians chapter 1. And there's going to be a reason. They're going to be three lessons within a lesson, which is going to be the point this afternoon. So if this is our outline, these are the facts, this is what is written, this is what Paul's writing about, this is to whom he's writing, this is what the situation is. But now let's consider This stage between reading and understanding what's being written, and then taking what's written, the principles that are being established, and applying them. So for instance, one might could preach a lesson or write in your notes an application about chapter 1 from this perspective, the importance of adhering to established teaching or doctrine. That's what the term doctrine means, is teaching. When you consider verses 1 through 5, what Paul establishes in these first 5 verses, he recognizes, first of all, Paul is an apostle, not from men or through man, but through Jesus Christ and the Father who raised him from the dead. He establishes verse 4 that Christ gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He's establishing the basic principles and recognizing the stability that comes from that. Jesus and him crucified, the fact that he was raised from the dead, verse 1 is there. The fact that Paul, this is given to him as an apostle to teach. We find verse 4 that he gave himself for our sins. There is an established understanding that within the teaching of Christ, there is stability. There is the recognition of that which has been given, and the principles that are here form the basis of our faith. The fact that the Father raised Jesus from the dead, the fact that Jesus died for our sins. Then you go on to verses 6 through 9. Notice how that as Paul describes the fact that they have turned away from this doctrine. Well, really what he says in verse 6, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ. Notice everything within the established teaching, that those established principles and everything that came from it, verses 1 through 5, that is this turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ. That is the doctrine of Jesus. And when I turn away from that, that's what's being described here. And it doesn't matter what it may be. If I'm turning away from what God has taught me, that's the perversion of the gospel of Christ that Paul describes here in verses 6 through 9. Anything contrary to what you've been taught. That's why he says in verses 8 and 9, if we are an angel from heaven, teach anything different to you, let him be accursed. What has been given has been given. It's not going to be given again. There's not going to be some new update to it. It's already here. And as a result, anything that you hear that goes against what you've been taught, don't listen to it. And yet here you are being turned aside. So then in this established line of thinking, if I were going to draw application about the importance of maintaining the teaching of Jesus and adhering to it, verses 10 through 24, look at it from the train of thought as Paul writes regarding his history, especially as he gets into verse 11. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. We can trust in the established doctrine when it comes from Christ. When it comes and it is contrary to what Christ has taught through his apostles, through his word, we should acknowledge that and not turn away. We should not turn to that which is being taught that is wrong. But as Paul establishes, this is the established doctrine. This is what was taught to me. Or in fact, it wasn't even taught to him. He says in verse 12, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the gospel that he received directly from Jesus. So why are you turning away? You know, and these are things that they should have known. But Paul received this gospel from Jesus. So if Jesus was going to make anything else known, Paul would be one of the first as an apostle to know of it. And of course, Paul himself says, nothing's going to change, even if I teach anything different. That which has been given has been given. So when I look at application for Galatians chapter 1, the need to maintain that which has been taught through from Jesus Christ in the gospel, not allowing for any new updates, not allowing for any new books to be added to it, but rather taking the gospel as it is, no need to update it for the 21st century, taking it as it is and maintaining it. That's one application that I can gain from Galatians chapter 1. And there is an established, that principle is carried all the way through the chapter. So when you look for application and you can see it, this same principle, the fact, the need to stay hold to the truth, You're seeing that all the way through the chapter. You know that's one of the basic principles that Paul's establishing in this chapter. But there's a second sermon or second lesson, second application that we can gain from Galatians chapter 1. Notice how to deal with the dangerous influence of that which is taught that isn't according to the gospel of Jesus. Notice starting in verse 6, going back up to verse 6, he says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Paul acknowledges the root of where this came from. Some had come in among them and were teaching that which was contrary to what Jesus established. And in the broader context of Galatians, we know that that is including elements of the old law in addition to Christ Jesus. Certain aspects of the old law of identifying Sabbaths and even circumcision, Paul discusses. All of this is being reintegrated into Christ Jesus, and it's kind of like this hybrid, half new law, half old law, that is being pushed, presumably by Judaizing teachers, upon the Galatians. So when Paul says, some have troubled you, they seek to pervert the gospel, and they're listening. The saints in Galatia are paying attention to these teachers. That's the reason why they've fallen. Paul, he's not just throwing this out there and saying, oh, you've fallen. He actually addresses the reason why they fell. Then he says, verse 8 and 9, Christ's gospel is set. It's not going to change. So why are you listening to people who are telling you something new? The permanence of Christ's gospel is, even Paul says, I can't change it. Even if I were to teach anything different, I would be accursed. Because that which has been given has been given, which suggests the Galatians were given and taught everything they needed to know by this point. Everything they needed to know regarding their behavior, their conduct in Christ Jesus, their how to worship as a congregations of God's people in Galatia, how the construct of that and what we might call the organization of the church, how that's to work, all that's been given to the saints in Galatia. So if anything different comes along, they should have recognized it. Notice Paul doesn't make excuses for them. Oh, well, you know, I know they were pretty clever in how they sold this to you. And I know these Judaizing teachers really made it sound like this is holy and godly. Paul doesn't make excuses for them. He says, you should have known better. You were taught better than this. So when Paul establishes this principle, he's making the case Christ's truth doesn't change. And as a result, that's one of the reasons he goes back through his history describing where this gospel came from, especially going to the authority from where it came, not just Paul. Notice it says, verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father raised him from the dead. Verse 1 is crucial. Verse 1 is a very important verse in the broad application of chapter 1. Because this isn't just Paul saying it. This is the Father. That's really what he says. But through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Jesus said it, but if God hadn't declared him to be the Son of God with power through the resurrection of the dead, Romans 1, the Father confirmed it. The Father, this has been given from the Father to Jesus, to the apostles, to the saints. You need to trust in what has been given, knowing from where it's come from. The third lesson that one could preach or one could apply from chapter 1, Galatians chapter 1, is notice the emphasis on Paul's apostleship. He's not bragging. He's not exalting himself. Again, this flows right in line with the principle that he's establishing here in chapter 1. We see the relationship between the first two applications already. But now with this third one, there is a consistent recognition of Paul's apostleship, and it came from Christ Jesus. He says, notice how that when we see the apostleship of Paul and knowing that he was inspired, verse 4, he says, we'll start in verse 3, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of God, of our God and Father. Then in verse 16, he goes on to say, verse 15, "But it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus." Paul, when we consider Paul and his claim as being an apostle, which he does in verse 1, and he says this apostleship came directly from Jesus, his gospel which he teaches came directly from Jesus, he proves it by in every way, and not just with the letter of Galatians, although the letter of Galatians would be perfectly fine on its own, but you combine all the other letters Paul wrote, he's consistent through it all, teaching the truth as he told the Corinthians in all the churches of Christ. The same thing. There's consistency of teaching. But then, verses 8 and 9, he excludes himself from being able to change it. You know, that's one of the things about those super apostles back in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and especially today when people seek to change things, there's always that caveat, that there's always that back door. That, you know, if we want to change it later, oh, well, we'll come around and we'll change it later. We'll decide on that. Paul says, you know what? I would be condemned if I taught to you anything different at this point. The gospel that has been given has been given. It's not going to change. Not an angel can tell you otherwise. Not even an apostle can teach you otherwise. Now think about that for a minute. The 12 apostles and then Paul. The gospel that had been given, they don't have control over what gets changed or not changed. No, there is no decision, oh, well, we're going to change this because it didn't really fit with the times. Jesus gave it to them, and that's it. That there's no more. So when Paul says, let him be accursed, he's including himself in verses 8 and 9. I can't change it either, nor would Paul want to. But Paul tells them, listen, it provides a proof, it provides evidence to show his inspiration being truly an apostle of Jesus Christ. And then, again, we notice verse 1 about the fact that he was made an apostle from Jesus Christ, and he goes through his history specifically describing verses 10 through 12, the fact that this is something that he was given to him directly from Jesus Christ. And then he goes through these details. I didn't confer with the apostles in Jerusalem. I didn't ask them for their input. You know, he dealt directly with Jesus. Everything he taught came directly from Jesus Christ. And as a result, the source of what he taught, the source of what Paul often called his gospel, all comes back from Jesus Christ. So, when we consider Galatians chapter 1, and we noted the basic outline, okay, this is what Paul says. Okay, we notice that outline. Those are just the facts. That's not any application. We notice the introduction, how the Galatians are drawn away by false doctrine. Paul goes through his credentials as an apostle. That's what it says. There's no application involved in just a basic going through an outline and kind of just noting what the scripture says. But then you draw application from what's said and the principles that are established. So, for instance, in this exercise that we did through Galatians chapter 1, we've learned three things. Three applications from Galatians 1 based on what Paul says. It's important to adhere to the gospel that has been taught. It's important to know how to deal with the dangerous influence of false doctrine and those who teach it. And we know that Paul was an inspired apostle based on evidence that we see written into every letter he wrote, including Galatians. And especially Galatians chapter 1, when he says, I can't change it. This is controlled by the Lord. This isn't controlled by the apostles. We have no authority to change it. But now we talk about the lesson within the lesson. These are three applications we can gain from Galatians chapter 1. But this lesson isn't about gaining application from Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 is an example of the flexibility of the application of the scriptures. Notice it's not the flexibility of the scriptures. That's not the case. The outline stayed the same. But it's the principles that are applied from what is written and how the application is very flexible based on the situation that you're looking at. That is the beauty of the gospel, in that you take a text like Galatians chapter 1 and the fact that we can bring out three related but separate applications to recognize issues that were taking place in Galatia that Paul addresses and the relationship between those applications to themselves, that speaks to how that all through the gospel we see how it applies not just in different states, spiritual states, but in different stages of life. You know, things that didn't make much sense to me before I was married or before I became a father, they make a lot more sense now. And I'm sure later on, as I age, more and more aspects of application of Scripture will open up to me simply because I'm in a different state in my life. That's the beauty of Scripture. The Scripture doesn't change. Scripture's the same. But the application of those principles, you can, as Galatians chapter 1 proves, it's not just one sermon there. There's at least three. In fact, there's, I mean, if you really wanted to point out maybe half of a chapter here and there, you could even make four or five different applications from Galatians chapter 1. And they all fit within that outline. They all flow within that thought. But that's why God gave us this gospel the way he has, so that we can read and understand what is written. There's our outline. Here's what Paul says. Well, here's what he writes. These are the facts. Now, what can I apply from this? That's where reading turns into studying. That is that stage from seeing what is written to understanding what's the point? What is the purpose? How can this help me in my life? And that's what we have to make sure we work on all the time. That when we read a passage, it's not enough to just read it. Now take that series of verses or take that chapter or take that book and ask yourself, what applications can I gain from the principles that are being written about here? The teaching that is given to me, how can that apply in my life? That's a lesson for you this afternoon. I told you we wouldn't be here till maybe 5:30-ish or so. Three for one, that's a deal. I don't care who you are, that's a deal. But the whole point is to make sure to emphasize how important it is for us to truly study what it is we read. That way we gain more ability to apply God's word in our life every day. We offer an invitation to those who are not Christians this afternoon to recognize that the Scripture says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Well, what's an application from that statement? Application is, here's what Jesus says is necessary to be saved. I must believe and I must be baptized to have my sins washed away. And that is a consistent teaching throughout the New Testament. One must believe, one must repent and confess, and be baptized to have your sins washed away. If you're willing to do that this afternoon, you can be a part of the body of Christ. For those of us who are Christians, let's make sure that we're working our minds, that we're taking the Scriptures, that we're applying those Scriptures. Now, it's not reinterpretation. That's not what this is. The Scriptures say what they say, and they remain unchanged. But here's the principles that can help me in my effort to continually better myself as a servant of God. If you need any help this afternoon, we're here for you. If you'll come forward as we stand and sing.